Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 47 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
Really do some community building that's diverse and inclusive with our events.
Moorhead State University's World Art Class is hosting events this evening.
MSU's student housing staff was recognized by the Kentucky Association of Housing Officers.
Work on a bridge in Greenup County begins Monday.
Schools in Fayette County have canceled activities for Monday in anticipation of the President's rally in Lexington.
Healthcare coverage has decreased for Kentucky children.
In sports, Moorhead State's women's basketball team opens exhibition play tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 26. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The World Art Class at Moorhead State University has multiple events taking place on campus this evening. Starting off at 5 o'clock will be the annual Day of the Dead event in room 325 of the Adrian Doran University Center. The celebration includes traditional arts, Day of the Dead altars, as well as food. Joy Gritton is a professor of art history at MSU. She says at 6 o'clock the venue will change.
We are going to move from ADUC, where the altars are, over to the Button Drill Room, and we're going to have a performance by Cornbread and Tortillas, which is a group that tries to see the commonalities between Appalachian cultures, music, storytelling, and Latin American cultures, music and storytelling and dance.
Gritton adds all events and activities are free and open to the public.
Employees from Moorhead State's Office of Student Housing took home several awards at the 2019 Kentucky Association of Housing Officers statewide conference. Mary Anderson received the Service Award. Anastasia Chalky was named the Best in the Bluegrass. Lydia Clay was named Student of the Year, and Michaela Gabry was named Outstanding Resident Advisor. MSU Housing Director Alan Rucker received the Commonwealth's top honor, the Ruth Ann Howard Service Award. He says the state has multiple industry benchmarks and leaders in the field.
I'm certainly biased that I think we're doing it leaner and meaner here at Moorhead State than other places, but everybody does great work. It's just nice that the work that we do and the work that our staff does was really recognized at this conference, because it is a point of pride for us to be able to say, you know, we may not have the large population that other universities have, but while we don't have that, we do have a really authentic and personal connection with folks.
Rucker says changes are coming for housing and residence education across the country as they work to build curriculum components into the living experience.
Work to rehabilitate a county bridge in Greenup County will begin on Monday. The project on Smith Branch is part of the Bridging Kentucky program, which aims to lengthen the lifespan of several bridges in the Commonwealth over the next 30 years. Alan Blair is the Kentucky Department of Highways District 9 spokesman.
That week they'll start building a diversionary route, which is basically going to detour the Smith Branch traffic around the construction site. So it won't be very much of a detour. It'll just be right there on site, kind of an adjacent little runaround roadway just to get people around where they're going to tear down the existing bridge and kind of build back with some new superstructure.
Blair adds the project includes building a new reinforced deck and railing for the bridge.
The Montgomery County Fiscal Court has given first reading of a nuisance ordinance. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
The ordinance would address junked, wrecked, or inoperative vehicles, abandoned mobile homes, rubbish, or residences with high grass or weeds. The Mount Sterling Advocate reports the first reading was approved unanimously last month. It would apply to unincorporated portions of the county that exclude Mount Sterling, Camargo, or Jeffersonville. The ordinance states there are areas of the county where existing properties may affect property value, interfere with the use of other properties, or tend to render such properties as dangerous or detrimental to the health and welfare of residents in Montgomery County. The second reading will take place November 19th. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Fayette County Public Schools are canceling all after-school activities on Monday amid President Donald Trump's scheduled rally in Lexington. WUKY's Josh James has details.
The district is pressing pause on extracurricular and extended day programs on Election Eve, citing concerns about traffic as the president comes to Rupp Arena to stump for Governor Matt Bevin. Fayette Superintendent Manny Cox said dismissal procedures will remain the same and after-school care programs will go forward as scheduled. The Lexington Herald-Leader reports Promise Academies at Harrison and William Wells Brown Elementary Schools will operate on their Wednesday schedule and dismiss at 2:35 p.m. Cox has said the district is working alongside local police in, quote, anticipation of the potential effect of the president's visit to Lexington next week. All public schools will be closed November 5th for Election Day. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A group in Clay County is taking donations for toys before the holiday season begins. Second Chance Santa currently assists in donations for Clay, Jackson, and Laurel counties. New or gently used toy donations are accepted before the Christmas season. Tina Napier is the leader of the donation project, which began last December, and she says her childhood Christmas experiences were poor.
We didn't have a lot when I was growing up, and it just, you know, I always felt left out.
Donations will be taken until November 20th, and information can be found on the Second Chance Santa Facebook page.
ACT scores in the Commonwealth have fallen. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has a story.
Data released from ACT shows the Kentucky high school graduates who took the college entrance exam saw a 2-point percentage drop in meeting college readiness benchmarks compared to last year. The decrease moved students from 20% readiness in 2018 to 18% this year. Composite scores were also down statewide from 19.9% to 19.5%. WKYT reports the drop is larger than the national average, which also saw an overall decline in scores. The data also showed achievement gaps between racial groups. White students scored an average composite of 20.2, African American students scored an average of 16.6, and Hispanic Latino students scored an average of 18.1. For WMKY News, I'm Greg Jenkins.
Kentucky's congressional delegation voted along party lines on the House impeachment resolution. The state's five Republicans voted against the measure, along with his no vote. First District Representative James Comer demanded House Speaker Pelosi bring the USMCA trade agreement to a vote.
My Republican colleagues and I are ready to vote on the deal, but House Democrats, setting their sights on baseless impeachment of the president, choose to neglect important opportunities like this.
Third District Democrat John Yarmuth voted in favor of the measure.
5,000 Kentucky children lost their health coverage between 2016 and 2018, according to a new report by the Georgetown Center for Children and Families. Emily Beauregard heads the advocacy organization Kentucky Voices for Health. She says that while Kentucky's uninsured numbers aren't as high as those in neighboring states who didn't expand Medicaid, the trend is still troubling.
These kids have access to coverage. They're just not enrolled. So what that tells us is that the enrollment system is getting harder. We haven't been able to put our finger on exactly what's happening, but we have heard that there's identity verification and income verification processes that are just more complicated than they used to be.
Beauregard adds that lawmakers should be taking a close look at the state's enrollment system for Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, also known as CHIP, to ensure that families aren't falling through bureaucratic gaps. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
A Sawyersville woman was sentenced to 24 months in federal prison by a United States District Judge following her conviction for tampering with a controlled substance. According to the plea agreement, while working as a nurse at Paul B. Hall Regional Medical Center, 25-year-old Kelsey Spencer removed vials of butorphanol tartrate for personal use. Mountaintop Media reports Spencer then injected saline solution into the vials as a replacement in order to conceal her criminal activity. Spencer pleaded guilty in July of 2019. Under federal law, Spencer must serve 85% of her prison sentence and then will be on probation for 3 years.
A Pike County man was arrested Thursday morning by agents with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. WYMT reports a federal grand jury indicted Jimmy Lee Moore on drug charges. According to the indictment, from September 2016 through May of 2017, he is accused of distributing pills, including oxycodone and hydrocodone. If convicted, Moore faces up to 30 years in prison and a hefty fine.
The latest hearing for the man accused of murder in Savannah Spurlock's death has been delayed until 2020. David Sparks faces counts of murder, tampering with physical evidence, and abuse of a corpse in the case. A not guilty was entered on his behalf in September. A hearing was scheduled for today in Garrett County, but Sparks was not in court. The hearing was pushed back 60 days to January 3rd. Defense attorneys say they need more time to look at the evidence in the case. Kentucky State Police say Spurlock went to Sparks' home on Price Court in Garrett County on the night she disappeared, January 4th. She was seen on surveillance leaving a Lexington bar. Sparks told authorities he fell asleep, and when he woke up, Spurlock wasn't at the home. Authorities found her body in July with a rug and garbage bags, which matched material that was found in Sparks' home.
A man accused of plotting a mass shooting at a Kentucky school will plead guilty to federal charges. Dylan Jarrell of Lawrenceburg is accused of using the social media platform Reddit to send online threats that he intended to hurt people at a school. The school in question has not been named in the indictment. According to WKYT, Jarrell allegedly sent threatening messages on Facebook and Instagram. Court documents for Jarrell say he's expected to be rearraigned on Wednesday, November 20th in Frankfort. Last October, police received a call from a New Jersey mother who said Jarrell sent hateful messages to her and her children online. After an investigation, police stopped Jarrell as he was pulling out of his driveway with guns and ammunition. A search inside Jarrell's home led troopers to discover notebooks with details of prior school shootings and shooters, along with a checklist of items.
A judge is sending a man accused of killing two people at a Kentucky grocery store back to a state mental health facility. WMKY's Ty Martin has the story.
A judge Thursday decided to return Gregory Bush to the Kentucky Correctional Psychiatric Center for treatment. According to WDRB-TV, Bush was deemed mentally competent to stand trial for state charges including murder, wanton endangerment, and federal hate crimes in July. Bush has pleaded not guilty to the shootings of 69-year-old Maurice Stalliard and 67-year-old Vicki Lee Jones at a Kroger in Louisville. During a hearing on Thursday, prosecutors and defense attorneys said they have more concerns about his mental health. A new hearing has been scheduled for January 14th. For WMKY News, I'm Tom Martin.
Authorities in western Kentucky say the pilot of a small plane has died in a crash not far from a regional airport. News outlets report Airport Authority Board Chair George Bray confirmed a plane drowned near a Barclay Regional Airport in Paducah on Thursday night. McCracken County Sheriff Matt Carter says the plane crashed into a wooded area. He confirmed to WPSD the pilot who died was the only person on board. He says investigators are working to identify the victim and notify the family. Airport manager Dennis Roulet told WPSD the plane was a single-engine aircraft. Airport marketing director Eddie Grant says it was on final approach to the airport when it crashed about 4 miles away. The National Transportation Safety Board and Federal Aviation Administration will also investigate.
Taking a look at the region's weather, this afternoon, sunny with a high near 46. Tonight, widespread frost, clear with a low around 27. Saturday, widespread frost, increasing clouds with a high near 51. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 28. Sunday, sunny with a high near 49. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 31. Monday, sunny with a high near 58. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 37.
Taking a look at some temperatures around your region, it's 48 degrees in Ashland, 47 degrees in Grayson, 45 degrees in Inez, 46 in Winchester, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 46 degrees. On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff says some strange bedfellows have been sharing lunch.
Single-payer government health insurance is being debated seriously, while at the same time, physician-assisted suicide is being practiced in at least 9 states. How are these things related? Let's take a look. Single-payer and doctor-administered death are once again threatening to become bedfellows, and their manners cannot be good. Single-payer health insurance, not to be confused with health care, which really is something entirely different, single-payer insurance will have the same problem or challenge, rather, that all insurance programs have: how to control costs. One of the best ways to lower costs is to stop life. Plain and simple, this is a motivation for terminating life, as people conclude they cannot afford what a new life or continuing life will cost them or their families. The systemic motivation to end life as soon as possible will be one of the only reliable ways to control costs on universal health insurance. It is unequivocally effective and thus unavoidably alluring. All we have to do is get that pesky inclination to find it revolting tamped down and eventually dismissed as old-fashioned. That shouldn't take long. Lately, we've been regaled with inspirational stories about how people have ended their lives. Possibly something good for them, but definitely not something we want catching on. We've already got an epidemic of suicide. Those gun deaths people are lamenting are made up mainly of suicides, not mass shootings. This is the mass shooting itself. Systemic encouragement of doctor-assisted death, facilitated by news media and lovely stories, motivated by a voracious health insurance system that will have huge costs and thus huge needs to cut costs. All of this blended will result in what people feared 30 years ago, when the first whispers of single-payer and death with dignity began their American slow dance. Well, they're boogieing now. How hard will it be to convince sick people that the right thing to do is to die? For family, for community, for the good of the health insurance system, it's time for you to go. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:48 and 46 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio, right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this very cold Friday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Morehead State University women's basketball team has their season opener tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tom Martin. The Morehead State University women's basketball team is set to take on Hillsdale for an exhibition game this evening. This will be the Eagles' first test of the season, with regular season play not slated for a couple more weeks. Head coach Greg Todd says his team has been working to fill a lot of spots left by seniors from last season, and Hillsdale will help them to gauge where they are right now.
Yeah, they do have some starters that come back from last year's team, and they have 10 full scholarships at that level, so will be a little tougher game than sometimes when you're playing a non-Division I opponent.
Tip-off in Johnson Arena is set for 7 o'clock. The Morehead State University's volleyball team is in the Music City this weekend, looking for a second consecutive sweep of the Ohio Valley Conference's Nashville roster. The Eagles face Tennessee State tonight and Belmont on Saturday. Morehead State defeated both teams in the OVC's opening weekend. Head coach Jamie Gordon says road wins in the OVC are hard to come by.
We're undefeated at home, which is a good thing, but we're 2-2 on the road. And so if you're going to be in the mix for a championship, you've got to go out and get road wins. This is a good opportunity for us, you know, because they are teams that we are familiar with because we've already played them. But at the same time, when we played them at our place, it was a battle. And while we were able to get some wins, you know, there's some challenges.
Match times for this weekend are set for 7 p.m. tonight and 3 p.m. on Saturday. The Morehead State University football team is geared up for a longtime rival tomorrow. The Eagles host the Dayton Flyers at Jane Stadium following a road loss to Drake last week. Head coach Rob Tenure says his guys didn't take that game result too well, and they'll be hitting the gridiron hard tomorrow afternoon.
We got to play 60 minutes. We can't play 40 minutes. We got to play 60 minutes. And, you know, the one thing that we've tried to work on this week is, you know, defensively is taking some things away that they do well, and offensively just executing, you know, running the football a little bit better. And we've got to be much better, and we need some improvement in our third downs. I think that'll be a really important stat.
Kickoff tomorrow is set for 1 o'clock in Morehead. Round County's football team will celebrate seniors tonight as the Vikings face off with Montgomery County. The home team stands at 5-4 going into tonight's match, with Montgomery County coming in at 3-6 on the season. Head coach Kelly Ford says the team's senior leaders are a big part of their success.
Caleb Sargent is a deep tackle for us. You know, he's a great role kid. Matt Bailey's been a 3-year starter for us. Really good leader. This year he's been more vocal on the field. That's one thing that I've liked about him in the secondary. Gage Jones has been probably one of our smallest kids on the football field. He's been a special teams guy for us for the last 4 years. Cameron Moulton, another defensive lineman. These guys love to win. I mean, he's probably one of the most competitive kids. Cole Dean, he's had some ups and downs throughout his football career, but he stuck with it. I mean, these kids will do anything for each other.
Kickoff tonight in Morehead is set for 7:30 p.m. The Round County Senior High School volleyball team is state tournament bound once again. The Vikings picked up the 16th region title last night over Boyd County's 3-1. Head coach Steve Walters says now his girls will get a little downtime.
The winner of tonight will go to the state tournament at Valley High School in Louisville. That will be next weekend, where we will play the winner. We'll play the winner of the 14th.
Corbin ended up getting the regional title over South Laurel last night. The two teams will face off next Friday in Louisville at 8 p.m. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the world's fastest horses will compete for millions of dollars this weekend in California. The Breeders' Cup Championships are today and tomorrow in Santa Anita Park. Shug McGahee trains Breeders' Cup Classic contender and Kentucky Derby runner-up Code of Honor.
You know, there's two really major races in the United States that I haven't won. That's the Preakness and the Breeders' Cup. And, you know, I've been close in both of them. So, you know, they're both on my list. And I hope maybe this year we can get the one behind it.
The Breeders' Cup will conclude Saturday evening with the $6 million Classic. The race features some of this year's Triple Crown Series contenders, including Preakness winner War of Will. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball opens their season with an exhibition game hosting Hillsdale College tonight at 7 p.m. Men's basketball welcomes Samford at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November 5th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 606-783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of R.W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose sharply as investor sentiment got a lift from a much stronger-than-expected U.S. jobs report, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 301.13 at 27,347.36. The S&P 500 hit another record closing high, finishing up 29.35 at 3,066.91, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 94.04 at 8,386.40. And the NASDAQ itself also hit an all-time high today. ExxonMobil is among the best-performing stocks in the Dow on the back of stronger-than-forecast quarterly results, and the stock was up 3%. The industrials and financial sectors both rose more than 1.4%. Apple shares rose more than 2% to a record high up above $250 a share, lifting the NASDAQ. The U.S. economy did add 128,000 jobs for the month of October, and that was much better than the expected gain of 75,000 jobs. October jobs growth easily beat estimates despite a decline of 42,000 jobs in the auto sector due to the General Motors strike that has now been settled. Also, jobs growth data for September and August was revised substantially higher. September's number was revised up to 180,000 from 136,000, and August jobs growth was revised to 219,000 from 168,000. Other data released included the Institute for Supply Management's reading on October U.S. manufacturing, and the ISM's manufacturing PMI came in at 48.3, representing a bigger-than-expected contraction in the sector. Some of the survey's internal components showed improvement, offsetting the disappointing headline number. Of course, trade continues to be a big news item in the background, and trade hurt stocks yesterday after it was reported that Chinese officials have been casting doubt over the possibility of a long-term trade deal with the U.S. And, of course, today the market turned around in part because China said that there was a consensus in principle with the U.S. during trade talks this week. Also, the U.S. Trade Representative's office said Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin made, quote, progress in a variety of areas and are in the process of resolving outstanding issues. In the commodities markets, oil was up 3.4% at $56.02 a barrel. Gold was unchanged at $1,514.80 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 up 0.7%, and Asia had a good day as well, with the Shanghai Composite up 1% and the Hang Seng up 0.7%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank up 48 cents at $29.56, Dollar General down 45 cents at $159.89, UPS up 4.36 at $119.53, Marathon Petroleum up 2.49 at $66.44, and PPL Energy was up 10 cents to finish at $33.59. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of R.W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250, Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region. Cornbread and Tortilla will perform at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, November 1st in the Button Drill Room at Moorhead State University. Cornbread and Tortillas is a performance group of Appalachian and Latina musicians, dancers, and storytellers. The performance is free and open to the public.
High school juniors, seniors, and transfer students are invited to an open house at Moorhead State University from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 2nd. Information about financial aid, housing, admissions, and campus life. Campus tours will also be available.
The Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, November 4th at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues.
The Star Theater at Moorhead State University offers a public laser show every Saturday at 4 p.m. Laser shows offer exciting and engaging music and light presentations. Schedule and visitor information can be found at moorheadstate.edu/startheater.
The Community Recycling Center, located near the Moorhead City Park, offers paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Rowan County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Cost is $15 per hour. Secure and confidential. Drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250.
Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead will feature a public reading by author Sean L. Corbin at 6 p.m. on Thursday, November 7th. Corbin will read from his selected poems. The event is free and open to the public.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Ty Martin, Chaz Jenkins, Wyatt Melton, and Sarah Mead. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Moorhead State University's Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.